Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love, undivided.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, January 29th, 2024. The last Monday of January already. I don't know about you, but that feels fast. We kind of say that every year, but really it does feel fast. And we're sort of still reeling from the PTSD of the last 4 years. I don't need to say any more, I don't think, but it is what it is. So here we are. It's Monday. We're sort of hitting a stride. We're not doing Mondays with Mitzi today. I expect to have Mitzi back next week. She's otherwise indisposed today with important things. So we'll do that. And I expect that to really, I don't know, become a little even more fun if that's possible. Going forward, we'll see where it goes. I did the announcements. We did my daily prayer, which is important, in the first hour, to just revisit the announcements. The quilt raffle is coming to an end this week. Make a donation of $250 or more for your chance to win the package gift, including the battle flag quilt, RBN mug, t-shirt, business cards, bumper stickers, all the fun stuff. To say, listen to the truth. Here's a place to, go listen to the truth. Real news, real talk, real people, because you can handle the truth. And sometimes, it's uncomfortable. Call 800-724-2719, extension 3 for your chance to win. 800-724-2719, extension 3. The winner will be determined at the end of this month, which is this week. So stay tuned for that. You can visit the website for details. There's also the Dear RBN letter, which, as I mentioned, again, that is addressed to you, the listener, because as the letter says, as it states, if you are reading this, you are the Republic Broadcasting Network. So thank you for your support. This is a listener-supported network. Your support directly and of the sponsors and advertisers is extremely valuable and appreciated, valued and appreciated. So please help us continue into the new year. Thank you for your support to all who do and to those who don't currently or haven't ever, please consider supporting the network. Also check out the Facebook page if you're on social media. If you're on Facebook, Republic Broadcasting Facebook page. So, I sort of teased a conversation over the weekend. Regarding the clip that we played on Friday from Capernaum, from the video from the Truth is Stranger Than Fiction YouTube channel, the video titled Copernicus/Copenhagen, The Philosophical Pillars of Scientism. Again, the clip is from 2230 to 2604, 3.5 minutes. And the conversation, if you were listening to the clip, it sounds like you know, this is a, you know, the implied in the clip is, you know, this is content from a flat earth perspective, might say, just put it that way. And so, you know, this gives rise to a conversation, beginning with the question, do you hold to the flat earth? And my response initially, just the first part of my response is, and this is an exchange that goes on for a while, but, you know, I would like to think I hold the biblical view. What does that mean? So you think you're right and everybody else is wrong, Chris? Nope, that's not what I'm saying. That's not the point of why I framed my initial response in that fashion. We could probably just play the clip again. Wonder if we shouldn't just do that. Maybe we should. So that you have an idea of what I'm talking about. Because this is a bigger issue. Really, quite frankly, I think it has little to nothing to do with the actual shape of the earth per se. And the, you know, the ensuing debate. What is important is honoring God and his creation or creations. This is a fascinating thing that we've allowed ourselves to drift away from. And so, you know what? Let's just play this clip, and then I will sort of try to explain what I mean by this. From the video Copernicus/Copenhagen, the Philosophical Pillars of Scientism, again, the 22 and a half minute to 26 minute mark, 26 and change, 3.5 minutes or so. Here it is. Go ahead, please.
And so this whole enclosed cosmology with the whole universe inside of it is really, is you're trying to kind of placate the Copernican cosmologists and still look respectable in the eyes of science. That's what so much of this nonsense is all about. You still want to preserve a degree of respectability with the mainstream science, but also try and adhere to what the Bible says. And you're trying to play both sides, and you just can't do it. And I'll just close with this. The thing that really, one of the things that really solidified a lot of things for me was when I started looking into this term, Uranos, which is for heaven, and how it is used in the New Testament, and even by when we look at Jesus, and so many instances in the Gospels where when Jesus stops to pray and he actually looks towards heaven, this word Uranos, and prays to his Father, and every time, you know, every time where it says he looks up, it's looking up at the sky. You know, if you're trying to say that the Bible doesn't teach that we live in a flat stationary earth, then it honestly makes no sense why Jesus would have been actually pausing to look up at the sky as if he didn't know that space was in every direction and that the earth was constantly turning and that the whole solar system was constantly revolving and moving and spinning through space. And that, so the whole idea of up is meaningless. The whole idea of why would you look out into this particular point in space one day and that particular point in space another day to pray to your Father? Was that just for the sake of the ignorant goat herder Hebrews that he was talking to? Was he just sort of humoring them by looking up at the sky and praying to his Father? But no, you have this word Uranos that means the physical sky that you can look up at, and it also is talking about the spiritual realm, the spiritual heaven, a higher spiritual dimension, simultaneously. So right there, your cosmology is challenged when you're trying to hold to a Copernican viewpoint just by Jesus praying, because that is the original biblical cosmology. And the more you look at it, the more you will see this to be true. And so the Copernican principle was absolutely there was absolutely good reason for so many theologians and people within Christianity to push back against the Copernican principle, because they understood what was really at stake. They understood what was going on. But because we don't even know what that original, we don't appreciate what that original cosmology was, we don't appreciate what they were initially attacking and denying. But then, yeah, now we've come full circle to where now you can only exist in that. It's just like so many other things, where you can only exist in the vacuum of nihilistic atheism for so long before, you know, before the culture starts to swing back around to mysticism and paganism and Luciferianism. So just like that scientific atheism, it's sort of a temporary roundabout, I guess. That's kind of how I see the classical, quote-unquote, Newtonian physics. And yet, so many generations of Christians have elevated it and celebrated it and just built so much of their apologetics on this phony paradigm that they refuse to acknowledge, like, where it's all designed to take everything.
And there you go. So that's the clip. You know, this reminds me of so many discussions. Let's talk, you know, is it communism or communitarianism? Well, really, that's sort of a limited hangout. This is where the action is. It's a religious discussion. What's the end game? To create, you know, the Tower of Babel redo, sort of, in simple terms, to return to Genesis 11, you know, as a means of returning to Genesis 6 once and for all, to finish the great unfinished work. So crazy, you know. Speaking of the truth is stranger than fiction, another video. I wonder if I could do that real fast, sort of on the fly. What is her name? The lady who's heading up, or was, at least at the time. Who should play that clip, you know? How ironic. Oh, let's see. Not what I want. It's a religious battle. Most people have no idea that it's even happening. Kind of like the war that's taking place. Yeah, what war? Well, it's spiritual in nature, first and foremost. You're making these assertions. On what basis? Oh, I'm getting to that. So we'll do this real quick. There might be two clips. First one, let's see, how long is this? Yeah. So, 50, which is, $3.45. And there's another one, but we'll do that one first. So Sarah and Dale McKechnie, over at Lucius Trust, you know, she spilled the beans as far as, you know, what is happening, what's happening with the push toward the one world system. How does that look? Folks that have been really kind of at the forefront of that push, unbeknownst to most people, probably not a bad person to listen to. It's amazing, even though a lot of times it's sort of couched in very opaque terms, abstruse sort of language. It's interesting nonetheless how honest bad guys are, because the reason for that, people talk about how the esoteric crowd, satanic crowd need to reveal their plans or whatever. I think the devil is a ruthless taskmaster, and it's really fascinating just to read through Job, for example, to see that the devil did exactly what God allowed. God says, you can do this, don't do this. Then he says, you can do this, don't do that. And that's exactly what we see. It's interesting how obedient the devil is there in Job, and that God takes responsibility for those things that he sanctioned, that happened under his purview. He takes responsibility in Job 42:11. Anyway, not to get sidetracked, I got to play this real quick. Can we play that clip, please?
Hello. In the traditional motion picture story, the villains are usually defeated. The ending is a happy one. I can make no such promise for the picture you're about to watch. The story isn't over. You and the audience are part of the conflict.
United Nations headquarters, which was built in 1945 and financed largely by John D. Rockefeller. Inside UN headquarters is an ominous meditation room. The custodian of the meditation room is Lucis Trust Company. At one time, the Lucis Trust was located at 666 United Nations Plaza and was formally named Lucifer Publishing Company. The Rockefeller-funded UN meditation room is 33 feet long and 18 feet wide. 18 feet is 6 plus 6 plus 6. The small, dimly lit, windowless room was built in the shape of a pyramid that is laying on its side. At the center of the room is a 4-foot-high, black, casket-shaped stone slab, which weighs 6.5 tons and is extremely magnetic and rests on a concrete pillar. The pillar descends beneath the floor into the bedrock and taps into the Earth's hyperdimensional energies to induce a state of altered consciousness. Not far from the meditation room is the United Nations Security Council chamber. This is the emergency room of the UN, where the world leaders meet when there is a threat to peace. They decide the fate of nations. Notice the giant mural that towers over the Security Council room. The central focus of the UN mural is the phoenix bird that has risen. The phoenix bird is a symbol of Lucifer. Egyptians believed that the phoenix symbolized a god who rose to heaven in the form of a morning star like Lucifer after his fire immolation of death and rebirth. Notice that the phoenix bird is not standing above his own ashes. He is standing above his old skin. Like a snake, he has shed his old skin and is revealing himself as God at the center of the mural. At the top left, there is a church steeple without a cross. The missing cross symbolizes the death of Christianity. Below, a woman receives the rays of the sun god, while the man in front of her plays Pan's flute. To their right are two pyramid symbols and people joined together by a long blue serpent-like claw. Below the risen phoenix, a sword is driven through a dragon beast. This represents the killing of old beliefs and religions that depicted Lucifer as a beast. The New World religion worships him as beautiful. Behind the phoenix, the ghostly figures of the walking dead are stepping into a void. They symbolize depopulation. On the right panel, the pale horse from the Book of Revelation is the bringer of death to humanity through weapons, hunger, and disease. The man is releasing him. The chained black man represents slavery, while the top panel of the mural shows a technologically advanced white race who control industry, art, and science.
The worldwide activities of the Lucius Trust,
okay.
Founded by
there
Allison
you go.
Foster.
All right. Okay. I mean, that's an interesting little clip, right? And there's one more that I want to throw in. Same video. Let me see. Oh, my goodness. This will blow your mind. Is the United Nations a religious organization? Yes, Virginia. It certainly is. So this is, let's see, 111 total. This is why I say, you know, most people have no idea. Is the UN gaining ground and traction? Are we encouraged to believe that we have, there is no hope? You know, help us, Obi-Wan. You're our only hope. That these supranational organizations are our only hope in life, of course. And that was always the plan. It's always been the plan since the days of Plato. And on forward, and you can read it in the esoteric writings. You know, that's what Congressman Larry McDonald said very openly. I think that, you know, was the kind of sentiment that ultimately led to his untimely demise. He's not the only one, obviously. So the clips that we're playing now are from the video, again, from the Truth is Stranger Than Fiction YouTube channel. YouTube video titled Scientism and the Great Invocation, quote unquote, Blavatsky's No Longer Secret Doctrine of quantum mysticism. And that's another thing. See, most people don't understand. I talked about this recently in a variety of ways from a variety of angles. Most people don't realize that everything in our American society and way of life is ultimately, you might just say in simple terms, Kabbalistic indoctrination. That sounds crazy. But, you know, the bad guys, Alice Bailey wrote in, or should I say, the book attributed to Alice Bailey, Externalization of the Hierarchy, you know, the Tibetan demon, you know. In the Externalization of the Hierarchy, you read that the three primary breeding grounds of this satanic ideology going forward into the 20th and 21st century are the Masonic lodges, churches, as in Christian churches, so-called, and schools. Well, that just sounds crazy. Sure, but I've talked about how frustrating it is for me. You know, I've talked about this recently. I just can't do it anymore. I have a real hard time going somewhere. I mentioned the story of the gun club meeting and going there, and they want to start with the Pledge of Allegiance. And I want to do the Bellamy salute when they do that. And you know what? We're coming around full circle to a point where maybe that'll be reinstituted and everybody will be doing that like it's no big deal. That's how weird things are. I keep having visions of that scene from Hannibal where Anthony Hopkins is feeding Ray Liotta his own brain. Ray Liotta is going, man, well, something smells good. What is that? Oh, that's delicious. Just disgusting. But that's where we're at. Speaking of cannibalism, in the sense that I mentioned earlier, metaphorically. But, you know, of course, maybe not so much with all the crazy stuff that we're being. I talked about the story at the Yellowstone Club. What was that, last Monday with Mitzi? How the Yellowstone Club is, you know, using wastewater to produce 25 million gallons of snow. And that part of the deal is they have to put signs up that say, don't eat the yellow snow. It's not yellow, but you get the point. When we were kids, don't eat the yellow snow. Now we're just going to make 25 million gallons of yellow snow, and yay, let's ski on it or snowboard on it. Fun. All right, so we'll play this clip, then we'll go to the phones. But Scientism and the Great Invocation, Blavatsky's No Longer Secret Doctrine of Quantum Mysticism. This clip that we're about to play is Sarah McKechnie, you know, over at Lucius Trust, talking about, you know, what is the purpose of the UN? What is the one world government deal? You know, so we're all going to be, you know, there's going to be this dictator, and it's going to be, you know, we're Americans. We're not take what is it going to look like according to them, according to the bad guys that are trying to do this? Let's listen to what Sarah McKechnie said. Go ahead, please.
Accomplished without the feminine principle carrying it through and bringing it to birth.
Lucius Trust is a non-governmental organization that has an affiliation with the UN. How does your esoteric practice interface with the figures and policies of world government? It's a bit of a reaching question, but I thought I'd give it a shot.
That's all right. In some circles who don't know very much about our work, they have accused us of being in favor of a one world government. That's not the case at all. We don't believe for a minute that there's any one system of government that would suit the whole world. Cultures and societies are different, and it's the right of nations to choose their own form of government. The term one world government is much more subjective in its significance in the books of Alice Bailey. It doesn't mean a political system that nations would follow, but rather a kind of a spiritual view or perspective that sees the coalescing of all the nations of the world in unity. And that's what the United Nations stands for.
But is it not so that Lucius...
There you go. Right from the horse's mouth. Don't believe me. I mean, is that not just... There it is. That's it. It's a religious agenda. Well, not necessarily, you know, one particular form of government, but kind of a spiritual type of a deal. I like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Speaking of Coca-Cola, it doesn't mean a political system that nations would follow, but rather a kind of spiritual view or perspective that sees the whole world the coalescing of all the nations. That's what she said. The coalescing of all the nations of the world in unity. I like to teach the world to sing. And that's what the United Nations stands for. I don't know about you. I mean, you just can't put it any more plainly than that. That's why this broadcast creeps in a seemingly more biblical direction. I don't know if I'm going to have time. We got calls stacking up. We'll go to the phones after this break. But I don't know if I'll have time to explain. Maybe that'll be the subject of tomorrow's broadcast. You know, my explainer on the question about the flat earth stuff. It's not about the shape of the earth. It's about honoring God. Stick around. I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Shahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Because calls are stacking up fast. We got to do this. So just to summarize, and I'll come back to this later, it's not the shape of the earth that matters. What matters is, you know, Romans 1, 18 through 20 in particular. Just read that. It's not so much the shape of the earth or anything else, but honoring God and his creation. You know, Adam Weishaupt is alleged to have mused, equipped, O foolish man, what can you not be made to believe? If I can get you to believe this, then how about this? And how about this? The slippery dialectical slope. You know, I mentioned the scene from Hannibal where Anthony Hopkins is feeding Ray Liotta his own brain. What about eating our own babies? We're already at infanticide through abortion. People are fighting for their right to murder unborn children. a society that will do that? Should it really be talking about healthcare and injecting fetal tissue in the form of vaccines into people? We're already doing that. Isn't that a form of cannibalism? Yeah, but those are, you know, whatever argument you want to try to make to justify it is, I would argue, an error. Anyway, for me, this is really coming to a head, and it's something that started way out there, so to speak, far, far away from us personally, but it's creeping closer and closer and closer and to inside of each one of us. The things, you know, it's not just out in the stars or, you know, the shape of the earth that we can't perceive per se, but now it's crept into, what about marriage? Who decides what constitutes marriage? What about gender? And these concepts are an adulteration of God's creation. And so are these things a salvation issue, traditionally speaking? No, of course not. However, read Romans 1, 18 through 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Why? Why is the wrath of God revealed from heaven? Let me just go there in my NASB 95, as I said earlier. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Is cultural Marxism and the Marcusean repressive tolerance bent, is that all about suppressing the truth in unrighteousness? Absolutely. So at what point does denying God and his creation, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven? Because that which is known about God is evident within them. But what if you don't know? For that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. How does what's invisible be clearly seen? Because just look around you. Being understood through what has been made through his creation, so that they are without excuse. Is it a salvation issue directly, per se? Absolutely not. Is it indirectly? I would say absolutely. At what point does denying God and his creation, you know, it's. I think it's a Romans 14 issue. It's for everyone to decide. I feel convicted about it. This is where I'm at on it. So, to the phones, in the interest of time, Ken in Texas, thanks for calling, and thanks for your patience. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, sir.
You covered a lot of ground since I got on the phone. So
yes,
my brain is frazzled and razzle-dazzled. I think, at least in my opinion, if that means anything, that the translation issue is the most fundamental, foundational, and most critical issue going on today. Because, and you know, it's hard to get these points across in a 6-second soundbite, but I'm trying. But the politics follow the religion. So if you change the religion, then you get your politics. And to put it as succinctly as possible, I think that ecumenical equals New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my first comment.
John MacArthur put it was very well summed up when he said, the translation shouldn't be chasing culture. We should be going and trying to, you know, basically, instead of trying to pretend that God needs to pursue us and meet us where we are, we should be going and meeting him where he is.
Yes.
The culture should pursue him.
Right. And that's why we should be studying the word. Because that's where that happens, in prayerful consideration, not just a cold reading of the word.
I seem to recall in the red letter somewhere a reissuing of what Isaiah said, you know, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.
Yes. Because it's a big difference between seeking the truth and seeking a truth.
Yeah, or my truth, as the nonsense goes.
Yeah. And then that first clip you played, or at least the one I heard right after I called in, mm-hmm. Where the guy was talking about Uranos, or heavens,
yeah,
and Christ looking to the heavens. This is where I think the biblical interpretation using the Masoreth, or the Hebrews, integral to their faith, their air quotes religion, is the Masoreth. And then, you know, Job was mentioned, and, you know, that's where the word Masoreth is found in the Bible. And it's very possible, and I'm speculating here, but it's very possible that when he's looking to the heavens, here you have the one saying, I am the way, and the way is another way of talking about the Masoreth, or as people might be more familiar with, the Zodiac. Mm-hmm. He could have been possibly looking towards a particular constellation or something along those lines, which would have emphasized what he was talking about, mm-hmm. because of that story, the gospel written in the stars.
Yeah.
So there's a whole lot that can be gained by, you know, your particular persuasion on how you interpret the Bible. And I've found that if you use a Masoreth interpretation, it really opens up so much and just peels back a lot of layers that might not be well understood. And yeah. Again, I can't get too specific because of the amount of the time constraints, but it's really fascinating study for me, and I highly recommend that people try to do that.
Yeah,
there was something else I wanted to say, but I don't remember what it was. So, you know, the old drain damage.
Yeah.
But what do you think about that?
I think those things are, you know, as the Holy Spirit leads, I think there is value in it. But also, you know, there is a, you know, a Kabbalistic element to it that could, you know, if you're not careful, like anything else, it can become an idol. And so, you know, as the Spirit leads, as in all things, I would say.
Right. Well,
as the Holy Spirit leads.
Absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, when you talk about prayerful consideration, mm-hmm. you know, I went into the meditation room there in the United Nations. I had an appointment there to meet somebody regarding some geoengineering stuff back in 1993, and because there was a security concern that day, it was closed, but I talked to the head of security and they let me in. And I tell you what, it's a strange feeling being in that room, and that big block of stone looks just like an altar, and I mm-hmm. couldn't get over, you know, that feeling of dread type emotion or whatever that when I was in there. And
yeah.
all that, the mural that's right there before you go in, because you're pointing towards a mural, and then you turn left to go in the door into this pie-shaped room. And it's quite an interesting experience, but I know there's other callers, so I'll shut up and get back to listening. But thank you, Chris. Appreciate you.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Ken. Much appreciated as always. I would call that Saturn cube the altar to the unknown God that Paul was talking about in Acts 17. Men of the Areopagus, men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. So what you worship in ignorance, I will proclaim to you in truth. God you don't know, but you know what? Here's the one true and living God you should know. Anyway, back to the phones. Brian in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris, I'm wondering if you were referring to Kevin McCarron when you said, I'm going to have to vet these people as a guest.
No, I wasn't saying I will vet people. I'm not referring to anybody in particular. I was just saying one of the first questions is, you know, it's just a question that's rattling around in my mind. And the question is, what secretive groups, what fraternal orders of any nature, whether it's, you know, a fraternity or, you know, your local lodge or, you know, Odd Fellows or Elks Club or, you know, CFR, CNP, whatever. I just want to know what they are. I just think that question never gets asked. And so let's start throwing that out there.
Yeah. So from my perspective, you know, he has three kids. I lost my daughter, my mother to these neurological diseases. He's trying to come up with some possible alternative causes besides electromagnetics. And I think that he is an asset, and I would encourage you and our contacts, which are there in the Rogue Warrior chat room, and you have some emails as well. The purpose in me getting him on is, see, he is calling the new form of global governance turnkey totalitarianism, which isn't far off. But when you said earlier in this broadcast, you know, we're arguing over whether it's communism or communitarianism, when we should be arguing whether there's some religious solution to the world's problems. Well, we were just looking at a Robert Zephyr, 40 minutes, brand new, on communism.
Yeah.
How come he doesn't know what communitarianism is, even though that's
what
he's talking?
I have a question for everyone. You know, what do you think about the clip that we played where you have Sarah McKechnie saying, you know, it's not a political system that all nations would follow, but rather kind of spiritual view or perspective that sees the coalescing of all nations of the world in unity. What do you think about that? And she said that's what the United Nations stands for.
Yeah, I would say have a look at this Robert Zephyr, and, you know,
I'm familiar. It's always esoteric, but, you know, what about that? What about the lady who is leading Lucius Trust? They are, you know, adjacent, essentially, an adjacent organization to the UN, and she says this is what the UN stands for. Not a political one-world government system so much as a spiritual view or perspective that sees the coalescing of all the nations of the world in unity. And that's what the United Nations stands for. That's what she said.
Kevin could take this up with you because he had Adam Green on for hours, and he does not share Adam's viewpoints on any kind of spirituality or faith is unimportant, and, you know, just soldier on, Adam. I think what you and Kevin could enjoy having a conversation about is, Kevin's the first to say, with what's coming, if half of the nightmares that I'm seeing as a scientist are true, you're going to need every bit of a backup. And so that's go ahead.
Getting back to what Ken was just saying, you know, the Father Newhouse is the one who is really credited with saying that culture, religion is the root of culture, or culture is downstream from religion, and politics is downstream from culture, or culture is the root of politics. And so, you know, you have religion, culture, politics. My question is, those things that Dr. Kevin McCarron, PhD, sees coming, where are they coming from? And that's why I just, you know, that's why we played the two clips together, or I guess the three all together from the two videos that we played. I think the rest of the, you know, everything else, quite frankly, falls short, in my opinion. and misses the mark ultimately.
Okay, well, you know, you could talk about your history in the mortgage business. I've done terrible things for occupation. Lark's poisoned people in the catering and food business. Kevin, I don't think, was part of some kind of satanic cult when he said, you know, I'm going to use my brain to try and figure out medicine and what could be beneficial. And
well, he is part of a problem when he's in medicine. You know, the allopathic community is born out of the same. Where did it come from? And it has a mystical, religious connotation to it.
So you and John in Tennessee, in talking about communitarianism, we don't need to address any of this. We just need to get spiritual. Rest in peace, John. But
religion is the root of culture. Culture is the root of politics. Where are these things? Where are these organizations coming from? Where did allopathic medicine come from? Do you? I mean, does it register that Sarah McKechnie is saying, you know, they get accused of, you know, trying to create a one world government, but you know what? It's not really a one political system. A nation should be able to do whatever they want, but you know, it's more of a spiritual view or perspective that sees the coalescing of all nations. That is the one world government. It's spiritual. It's religious in nature. And that's where these things are coming from. That's where allopathic medicine comes from. That's where the communitarian bent comes from. It's Kabbalistic in nature. That's what it is. So we have other calls. Brian, I appreciate it.
And
trying to say
well.
It as
Thank
simply
you,
as I can.
Yep.
That's where I'm at on it. No offense to anyone. I think it's important. You know, time is of the essence. Consider the possibility of what I'm saying. Back to the phones. James in Vancouver, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, I'm guilty as charged, Your Honor, and I throw myself at the mercy of the court. Well, I never did get a chance to talk about the herd mentality. And I would add that, or I would say that one of the parts of sin is the herd mentality and the idea that I go off on a wrong presumption of guilt for, say, some situation or something would lead me astray because I followed the crowd. And I got to the wrong answer by following the crowd. And I'll let you go. And I still want that roast beef. And I'll get back to you later. Thanks kindly. Bye now.
Sounds good.
Alrighty.
Thank you, James. Much appreciated. Yeah. You know, one of the things I appreciate about James, speaking of, you know, what I was just talking about is that I don't get the impression James is trying to, you know, he's pretty straightforward about, his affiliations in the past and so on. Anyway, appreciate that. We don't have time to dive down the rabbit hole. Anyway, back to the phones. Renee in North Carolina, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes. Okay. I really am grateful for this show because it's like the old days because there's been such a U-turn in this genre of radio. I've always been suspicious of people who just love the King James Version of the Bible. Like, excuse me, that's a monarchy, a king. Those are the people same people you had to fight for your freedom, but you trust their translation of the Bible. That's always kind of suspect for me. So when you start talking about this stuff, I was intrigued. People have forgotten. You're bringing up the stuff the old patriots used to know. And I want to point out this important point. Cecil Rhodes planned on taking back this country. Do y'all notice that Britain and the Commonwealth of Canada and Australia are not having the invasion that we are? Could this be their plot? But you see, so many people in this genre do not have eyes to see because they're too weak.
Are you saying that Britain doesn't have their own invasion?
Somebody that looks like them.
Hold on. Are you saying that Britain doesn't have their own invasion?
Oh, not like we do.
I would wholeheartedly disagree with that statement.
Can you furnish the information? Like, how about
absolutely?
Australia and
just
Canada?
Look anywhere. The news reports that have been going on for years and years, over a decade over there. Yep, absolutely. What they keep talking about the flooding of the Muslim people into, Great Britain proper. And I'm not saying it's all, that we can believe it all or that it's all as advertised. I think there's an agenda there too. But I think there is a reality. You know, go listen to what – Garota Coleman says about that. I should have him on
now,
again sometime soon.
Who's got it the worst, though? By far, who has it the worst? I'd say us.
They would argue they do. It's all what Kelly Greenhill called coercive engineered migration, weapons of mass migration. Anyway.
And who is behind? Who's engineered this?
Exactly. That's why we played the clip of Sarah McKechnie. Yep, absolutely. We got another call we got to get to. We're running out of time. I appreciate it, Renee. Much appreciated as always. Back to the phones. Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, your volume went way down. I heard that on another show that somebody couldn't hear because the volume went way down when they were put on the air. But just for the board ops info, your illustration there of Romans 8 and the
Romans
Christ
1?
Looking toward up
Romans 1 18
up,
through 20
looking away from anything
Romans 1
man,
hold on Romans 1 18 through 20 you mean? I didn't mention Romans 8 today.
Romans 1 18 through 20, but I was going to mention Romans 8 if
okay.
You start there after his lengthy intro.
Point of clarification,
that particular chapter gets into a lot of the problems we see today where people proclaim themselves to be wise and they're fools. And I think that is an issue for a lot of these flat earthers. They have to ignore things in order to claim that. And there's lots of hyper-literal problems you can have if you look at the Bible, in a hyper-literal way and take it all literally. It's not all literal.
Well, the issue for me has nothing to do with the shape of the earth. It has everything to do with honoring God and pursuing Him and trying to understand what He wants each one of us, me in this case, to know.
It discredits Christianity a lot.
What's that?
It causes credibility problems with Christianity. There's a lot of people you're not going to be able to reach.
Credibility with whom, though, is the question. Who do you want to have credibility with?
You're cutting out.
Who do you want to have credibility with? That's the question. We're at the end of the broadcast. Who's in charge? Who decides? What does it profit a man that he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Take care, folks. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.